Hi, welcome to Lights, Camera, Author. I'm Jim Juno, and this is a show, of course, where we talk with people who write books about from the entertainment field, classic Hollywood, theater, and anything really that strikes our fancy. And I have with me today, she is coming to us. We are located here in Richmond. I am, but she is coming to us from a half a world away, from Brisbane, Australia, I believe. Diane Dimitri, welcome, Diane.
Thank you, Jim. It's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to be.
Half a world away, and we're talking. I mean, this is great, you know. And your new book is called Dare,
Correct.
From Me to I Am. And the full title is The Transformational Journey of a Woman Who Dared to Be More. And explain to me a little bit about where the title comes from first.
I have been a great advocate and believer in Helen Keller's famous quote, life is a daring adventure or nothing at all. And so, from my point of view, that's what my life has been. I have always been a believer in having daring adventures and that life is very short. And unless we dare to stand up, step up, speak out, in our lives, we've wasted a lifetime. That's just in my opinion. And that's where DARE has come from. And it's part of everything that I've done. It's part of all my speaking work. I dare leaders to face forward faster and further. So DARE was the natural title for me, although it took many iterations to find that title that really suited me, my book, and my story, and how I view the world.
And Dare is not just your life story, but it is also inspirational, motivational. I guess I hope I'm using the right term, inspirational and motivational on how to successfully live your life.
Yes, because what I wanted to do many years ago, I read Wayne Dyer's memoir called On a Clear Day. And I went to one of the last interviews or last workshop, sorry, writing workshops that Wayne Dyer did in Maui in 2015. And he told the story of how he struggled to get this memoir right. And he called his book a teaching memoir. So when I wrote Dare, I wanted to do the same thing. I wanted to write a teaching memoir. My story is basically just the journey of how we get from one insight to the next, to the next, to the next. And I didn't want it to be a narcissistic telling of my life because who cares about my life? No one. At the end of the day, it was what did I learn? So I can be the star in my journey, but I'm not the hero of my journey. The hero of my journey are the lessons and the insights I learned along the way. And that's why I structured the book in such a way that people can read it. And then at the end of each chapter, they can see, they can revel in the insights that I discovered. And they can actually also use the book a bit like an I Ching. So you can pick up the book and just flip it open for the day and ask a question to the universe. What is the lesson or the insight I need to know today? And it can be sitting there right in front of you because I structured the book more as a teaching memoir than just a memoir of what happened to me.
Now, speaking of what happened to you, and before we get along too far, I want to let people know that this is not your first book. This is, let me see if I count to right. Math never been my best subject, okay? Your 13th book?
Yes, it's around there. I started writing after seeing Wayne Dyer and going to Writing from Your Soul in Hawaii. And for some strange reason, I started writing erotic romance because I was really quite peeved with the great success, that great, what was it? With Christian Grey. I can't even remember it, but everybody was raving about it. And I thought, this is
50
about
Shades
women
of
in.
Grey.
That's the one. This is all about women in bondage to men who've got dreadful trauma. That's not what we should be it, saying to women. Yes, but you think you can change a billionaire. You can change him. It's like, oh, give me a break. So anyway, I wrote an erotic romance series called Steamy Secrets, was about women claiming their own power. and not being subjugated by men. And so that was something I never thought I would write. And then I moved into romantic suspense, romantic mystery, and then murder mysteries, which I love. And I'd love to get back to my Diana Daniels mysteries because I really enjoy Diana Daniels. And but along the way, I also wrote Master Mindset, which was a non-fiction book to help people through the COVID era. And then I finished up with Dare. And there'll be more to come. It's just finding the time or making the time to keep writing.
Now, as you say in your book, Dare, I want to make sure I let people know about the book, the right book,
Yes.
the book called Dare, From Me Too to I Am. Now, you start, I mean, you are brutally honest. You start, you were adopted at the age of 2 weeks old, I believe, correct?
Yes. And
And yeah.
I wanted to write something that really was brutally honest. And I thought anybody who reads this will know me. And whether they like me or not isn't the point. The point was to actually expose everything of a person's life, my life, and I was willing to do that, to create a relationship with the reader that they can say, I felt that, I know that. I understand that. How does she get out of that? Is there anything there for me? Because it's always about, I don't see it as telling my story. I see it as, can I provide benefit and insight for the reader? And that's what DARE is all about.
See, and that's wonderful because and like the meet you were a victim of well you I'm getting ahead of myself here. I don't want to jump too far ahead here, but you knew at an early age that you wanted to be an entertainer, wanted to be a dancer, didn't you?
Absolutely. I came into this lifetime with an insatiable desire to entertain and bring joy to people. It was the one thing that really drove me, and I loved it. The stage is my happy place. Give me thousands of people, put me on a stage, and I'm a happy chappy. And so, yes, I knew it from a very, very early age.
And you worked hard at it. You went to college. You went and you but you worked hard at being an entertainer and you actually realized your dream.
Yes, I
You
did. I scored the top job in the live entertainment industry in Australia at the age of 28. And I was working beside Las Vegas director Jerry Jackson in staging the biggest production shows ever staged in this country. It was just an incredible time, an incredible time.
And that's and all of a sudden, the dream becomes almost a becomes a nightmare, doesn't it? Because an unscrupulous, now I use the term producer. Is that correct? An unscrupulous producer, not the director, but the producer, and he makes and don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, but he makes sexual advances towards you, which was not welcome. And this is before the Me Too movement.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, this was way before then.
Yes, and
And
you, yeah, go ahead.
I write about this in the book, and I don't make a big thing of it, but I write about it in the book because I'm not the only woman in the world that this has happened to, and I won't be the last, and that's happening all the time because it's just in many ways the nature of the beast. And of course, it becomes life-changing when there is the threat of your career. And that's the issue here. It was I when that sexual advance happened on two separate occasions, and I said no very definitively, and that was it. I knew I had made an enemy, and I knew that what I had done is that by living with integrity, I had placed everything that I loved on the line. But for me, there was no other way. It was either the straight path or the crooked path. For me, it was just the straight path. I had never got to where I'd got to on anything other than merit. And there was no way in God's earth I was going to trade sex for success. And so that was it. And then, of course, it all blew up. the whole thing blew up. And I was sacked for apparently being too fat. And I knew exactly what was going on. And as I got angrier and angrier and angrier, I thought, well, I'm not too fat for you to want to sleep with, but I'm definitely too fat to stay in the show. So, of course, it's the same old story. Men feel emasculated by women who turn them down. So they then have to flex their power. The power they have is the power of the job. And it's been in theatre, it's been in the entertainment industry, particularly for years and years and years. And we've seen, with the Harvey Weinstein debacle, exactly all of this being exposed, which is wonderful. It's great. So it's not new, but it's my take on what happened to me. And more than the story, it was what I learned. And what I learned is that as a woman, on some level, I have attracted that energy into my world. And it wasn't that I was playing a victim, but on some consciousness level, something was going on that I was absolutely determined to find out. How did I contribute on some level to this? So that's the story. That's really the story. And then from thereafter, losing everything, losing my identity and my career and everything else for doing nothing wrong. I had to find a way out of that sinking dark depression where suicide looked my best option to find a way out. And as they say, once you hit the bottom of the barrel, the only way is up.
That's
And
true.
that, and that's where I was, the bottom of the barrel, thinking, right, how many tablets is it going to take for me to end it?
But you found an inner strength. I mean, you write about the living in the being instead of living in the ego.
Yes. And so what I discovered through the journey, and there's some quite extraordinary events that happen to actually assist in my awakening. And what I discovered is that we all tend to, as humans, live our lives backwards. And we think it's all about how much can we have, how much can we do, and then I'll become the person that I always want to be. And so we live it all backwards, having, doing, being. Whereas what I discovered is that we have to dare to be more so that we can do more of what matters and then have more of what counts. So I had to go within and find out who I was being as a human being, a verb, not a human being, a noun. That you often see on social media. In two words, what advice would you give to your younger self? And I often see these things pop up, the advice I would give myself as a younger self from where I sit now, two words is go within. Go within. Because until we move into the silence of our soul and we learn that wonderful, subtle art of meditating and communicating with our inner being, we will always face challenges. But as soon as we make that connection, and as soon as we solidify that connection and get clarification, our whole life will change on a dime. And we become clearer, we make better decisions, life is more fun, there is higher degrees of satisfaction, higher degrees of inspiration, and it just goes on and on and on. So, from my point of view, if anybody said to me, what would you want people to take from this book? I would want them to take from this book an unwavering desire to go within and find out who they really are.
And to make it clear, in your book, you say it didn't happen just overnight.
Oh,
Little changes, like I believe a passage you wrote about stopping at a stoplight. You know, whether or
sorry.
not stopping
Say
at
that again.
a traffic light.
Oh, yes. So the process was always developing trust with me, developing trust with my inner being. So I'm one of those people who always like to test and measure. I'm an avid learner, but I like to test and measure because you shouldn't believe anybody. You've got to go within and check whether that's right for you. It might be right for somebody else, but not right for you. So I would run these fun exercises and games, and I'd say to myself, you know, well, if I'm supposed to do this today, can you please give me a direct sign with the traffic light? So my expectation is that if it's a yes, I'll get a green light. And if the expectation is no, I'll get a red light. Now, a lot of people would think, well, that's crazy and that's random and that's accidental, but it's not, because if you look at the quantum laws of physics, Einstein said everything is energy and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy, this is physics. So once you stop and you look at it from a quantum physics point of view, everything is energy. We are all vibrating at different frequencies. So therefore, nothing is random. Nothing is accidental. So that situation that happened with me, with my producer, meant that I was vibrating at a frequency that he thought he could do that to me, that he could make those suggestions to me. And of course, it was all part of this great vibrational universe in which we all interact. And so the game with the traffic lights was me developing trust with me on a vibrational level. And once we make that quantum shift in perspective and we start to see the universe from its basic component of vibrating particles from energy, everything changes, because we become the master of our destiny then. We become the captain of our souls. And instead of creating our lives by default, we become deliberate creators. And once you get your head around that, and once you start to practice with those universal laws and those laws of quantum physics, boy, oh boy, do things start to change. But you're absolutely right, Jim. It did not happen overnight. I took that same level of determination and perseverance and commitment. The law of commitment is very strong, and I applied it into how do I make my life better and what is my part in it, and I must now take responsibility for everything that happens to me moving forward. I can no longer blame somebody else for my lot in life. And yeah, it did. And I say in the book that I did 4 years of philosophy 101, life philosophy 101, where basically I just focused in on developing, evolving my humanness into my consciousness. So there wasn't such a big gap between them.
When did you know when did you realize I want to help other people to find what I found?
I came in with that even at 4 years of age. Even at 4 years of age, my mother used to tell the story how she and Dad were having a bit of a tiff in the kitchen, and I walked in and said, don't fight, you two have to sort this out. So I came in with that as part of my purpose, I guess, of being here. And my purpose truly is the facilitation of human consciousness. And that's how I've always seen myself. So wherever I am, I will be always tuning in to my inner being and listening to and having conscious conversations as to how can I facilitate this conversation or these people in a way that helps them go within themselves.
If what happened to you, hang on one second. Yeah, if what happened to you and you found out it happened to somebody, to another woman, what would your advice be to her then?
Don't blame him.
Don't blame him. Okay.
That would be my first piece of advice. I'd say don't blame him. Step back, and let's now go through what you feel, and let's move you from the energies of limitation, which is blame and judgment and hate and how dare he and righteous indignation, and move through that slowly but surely. We can move you up the energetic scale, up into the energies of inspiration, where you can then process this event in a way that means that it is a powerful, meaningful experience for you that will set you on the pathway for the rest of your life. And boy, it's tough. I make it sound like, oh, yeah, that's okay. It's bloody tough. It's hard, yakka. But you see, nothing is more important in life than feeling good. Feeling good is more important than being right. So, you know, everybody would say, yes, but you were right. You should have taken him to court and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which I did do. But would I do the same now? I'll go back one further and say that wouldn't happen to me now because I would not attract that situation into my life to have to learn that lesson because I've done it. And this is the difference. And so if that situation was happening or on the verge of happening and somebody was talking to me about it, I would say, right, let's nip it in the bud now. And let's see what is the energy that you are sending out into the world that makes this particular man think that they can get away with it. And in the book, I knew what was about to happen. And I write in the book how I had started applying for other jobs and everything else, but that it just before he made his approach to me, I knew something was really off. And so my timing was just out. And what I would have done differently is I would have walked away, I guess, earlier. But I loved that job and I loved my career and I lost it all.
But you had a special friend. You asked, I love how in the book you asked for a sign, and a woman named Judy
Yes.
came to your aid when you needed it
Yes.
most.
Yes. Judy was my dresser at the casino. And she was a very straight-talking woman, a great professional colleague as well as a great friend. And it was after all of the court cases, and I'd lost everything, even though there was no grounds for my dismissal. The commissioner wouldn't reinstate me for fears of my health, and I basically closeted myself away in my unit. And my mother and my boyfriend at the time were very concerned about my mental health. And I was taking antidepressants, which is very unlike me. And they called Judy. And Judy turned up at my unit. She stood in the threshold of my bedroom and she said, "Get up." And I went, "No, I can't, Judy. I've got nothing left to live for." She said, "I'm not leaving till you get out of that bed." And I knew she would stay in there. It wouldn't matter how many hours. So I had to get up. And because she had that professional relationship with me where she would dress me at the casino, right? This costume now, this wig now, step into this, step into that. When she said, "Get up," you get up. Like, you know, so that was my first step in the direction of finding out who I was and what my life was going to truly be about and have meaning.
One of my favorite passages in your book, and it comes late in the book, and I was calling it up because I wanted to quote it right. I don't want to misstate it. You say all truth passes through three stages. First, it's ridiculed. Second, it's violently opposed. And third, it's accepted as being self-evident. Now, I know you didn't write that. You credit Arthur. Oh, I hope I don't butcher this name.
Schopenhauer. Yeah. Arthur
Schopenhauer?
Schopenhauer. Yeah.
Schopenhauer. Okay. Can you explain? I mean, I understand what you're saying there. For those of you who, for those people who don't may not understand, what does that mean?
Well, basically, there is a universal truth. There is a universal truth. And that universal truth, until we are in a position to firstly be aware of it and then to consider it and be critically thinking about that and feeling about it, it can be violently opposed. And that's how truth begins. Normally, it's violently opposed by what would be classed as the masses, because people may not be ready for that yet. But as people start to wake up and become aware that there is more going on in this universe than the puny, pusillanimous perspective of humans, that there is something far greater. Then it starts to people start to look at it, and because it can feel like truth can feel like it's overwhelming, people then ridicule it. Right, because that's their defense mechanism to have to then admit that maybe they had it wrong to begin with. But of course, there is no right and wrong. It's just an evolution of human consciousness. And then as people start to accept that it's not that they're wrong, or that it's not that other people are to blame, or and it's not about conflict, and it's not about being right and being wrong and dominating the other people. Once people move past that, you then realize that truth is liberating. And then truth becomes self-evident, and you go, aha. And those aha moments of enlightened and evolved consciousness are the moments that set us on a new course for our lives and truly do liberate us from all of our conditioned thinking.
That is amazing. Well, the book is entitled Dare, The Transformational Journey of a Woman Who Dared to Be More. From Me Too to I Am, Diane Dimitri, I want to thank you for conquering the time zones between Richmond and Australia and joining us on Lights, Camera, Author.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's always a delight. And as you can see, I always love to chat about my book. So thank you very much, and I wish you great evolution of consciousness.